A time of thanksgiving is upon us, and we want to take a long view of the words which we have just spoken. They are words which we use in thanksgiving at the table, and perhaps speak rapidly and thoughtlessly. There is much thanksgiving, perhaps at the behest of a president who issues a proclamation, which perhaps expresses itself mostly in eating and drinking. There is, however, a depth to these words, which is well that we should explore. If we look back into the words of the Old Testament, a text suggested for today, to which those words have some relation in thanksgiving for the return of the Ark of the Covenant at the time of David. We are here at the time of Samuel in 1 Samuel 5, verses 1 to 5. Now the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Then the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it to the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. When the Ashdodites arose early the next morning, behold, Dagon had fallen on his face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and set him in his place again. But when they arose early the next morning, behold, Dagon had fallen on his face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off on the threshold. Only the trunk of Dagon was left to him. Therefore, neither the priests of Dagon nor all who enter Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod to this day. We think of greater events in history, and if we follow this one, we find that the lord of the five cities of the Philistines moved the ark to Gath. And the same thing happened, and they moved the ark again to Ekron. And there the Ekronites cried out as this which was happening through the presence of the Ark of the Covenant which had been taken from the Israelites in battle. And the Lord, acting so far more in military capacity, decided they must send the Ark back to its place. But it took on a religious character, and they asked the priests and the diviners of the Philistines what they should do. And the priests and the diviners of the Philistines said, send it not back empty. They should make a trespass offering, and this should be 5 golden emeralds, as they are called, or 5 golden tumors, as we read here, and 5 golden mice. And they should take 2 cows, young cows which had not been under the yoke, which had calved. Those calves they should keep, but hitch these cows to a new wagon and set the Ark of the Covenant upon it, and put these 5 emeralds and the 5 gold mice into a special coffer. If it would indeed go toward Beth Shemesh, then it was indeed Jehovah who was punishing them. But if it did not go to Beth Shemesh, then it was from some other occasional cause. And the 5 lords of the Philistines pursued this wagon in order to see where it would go. And the wagon went to Beth Shemesh. And Beth Shemesh were happy to have it in their midst. But they forgot themselves as to the Ark of the Covenant, and they opened it to see what was in it. And they were punished, therefore. And they implored the people of Kirjath-Jearim nearby to take the Ark of the Covenant into their midst. And there the Ark of the Covenant was now some 20 years past. It was more than 50 years later before David wanting to build a temple but prohibited from doing so, did nevertheless prepare to bring this Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And there he gave a psalm to Asaph, and the lector has read us portions of the psalm, in which also these words occur: at the return of the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Sometime later, the temple was built, and Solomon brought the Ark of the Covenant into the temple, and the glory of God was present and filled all the house. And the priest said, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And the people responded, for his mercy endureth forever. It becomes a liturgical saying, which in Psalm 136 is repeated over and over. But we see what a conflict there once was, which ended with this occasion for thanksgiving. The words occur again at the time of the return of exile. O give thanks unto the Lord. This exile is over. Indeed, there are many other occasions in the church where these words should carry a depth of meaning at the time when Christ came to redeem and fulfill the law and redeemed us from all sin. Indeed, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. We celebrate at this time the Reformation and give thanks to God for the Lutheran confessions, in which indeed we have reason to say, O give thanks unto the Lord. His mercy continues in his church forever. If we give thanks also for deliverance in recent times from an Elamite conspiracy in our own church, we may well say, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy is still with us. Indeed, we may give thanks also for a fall quarter successfully ended, and whatever in our own personal concerns there may be, that he carries us safely to our homes for a Thanksgiving recess. God be praised for so much that we have from him, for which we give thanks to him in these words, which we want to speak more deeply when we gather as families or as congregations to speak them. In the name of Christ our Lord, amen.